You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, brothers and sisters of podcast land. Welcome to The Real Short Box. I am here with the debonair of modern-day masculinity, Darren.
Hello.
I am also here with the original DC for Life, Donald.
That's correct.
And I have a special guest today.
Yes, you do.
We have a gentleman, the entrepreneur. He is the Duke of Newhall, California, Julio. And of course, I cannot forget to announce myself as Dr. Kevin.
Well, Julio, thanks for joining us. We're going to have some fun today, don't you think?
I think so, man.
All right, great.
I think we're going to kill it today.
Quite literally.
So today's topic, guys, we're going to take our three personal favorite horror icons, and we're going to just do a brief description as to why we think. So how about we start with Julio. Julio, why don't you give us your first horror icon that you wanted to discuss?
I'm going to start with a classic, Michael Myers.
Yes.
There we go.
Wait, was that to cha-cha-cha-cha-cha?
Exactly.
Yes.
Who did the score on that? Was it Carpenter?
Yes, he did.
Carpenter.
And what's so unique, sir, that mask is basically a William Shatner mask that was just, you know, painted over and it took the eyes out.
Yeah.
And it's a creepy looking mask.
You see that meme where it says September 30th? And it has William Shatner's face, and then it goes October 1st, and it just morphs into Michael Myers' face.
That's great. Funny.
So talk about Michael Myers real quick, Julio. What do you like most about him?
His determination. If you had the work ethic that Michael Myers had, you would be the most successful. You'd be Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah,
you're worth $200 billion.
That's the equivalent.
You'd be a $200 billion man.
That guy is all the time. He outruns people by walking briskly.
That's true. It's amazing.
It's amazing. And what I love about Michael Myers, I love Halloween. It's my all-time favorite movie. What's really awesome about it is just the tension that it builds. I mean, Michael Myers is on screen for, 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Loomis, Donald Pleasant's character, builds that movie and builds this intensity and the fear of, when he goes over the car at the beginning. You don't even see him. He's escaping from the lunatic asylum. And he goes, "The evil has escaped! The evil has escaped!" And you're like, "What the fuck, dude? What?" I'm like, it's already building. You know, you're like, "Oh my God," you're scared before you even see the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes out and he's like on the street and you see him in the daytime, what killer shows up in the daytime?
That's true.
You know who? Michael Myers.
A classic indeed. Also, Kevin, so why don't you name one of your horror icons?
Well, kind of staying within the realm of a very popular, in this case, 80s horror icon, Freddy Krueger.
Mm.
Now,
my favorite child molester, too.
Whoa. Well, that's disturbing, but okay. But that very first movie of Nightmare on Elm Street, it's a classic. I mean, I rewatched it a couple months ago. I mean, you can't go wrong. It never gets old. I mean, the effects, the direction, the basic story of essentially the dream itself, there's a demon in the dream coming after you, and when he kills you in the dream, you die in real life. I mean, how frightening is that? You can't escape. I mean, you have to sleep at some point. And these kids, you know, starting with the main character, Nancy, played by Heather Langenkamp.
Oof.
Yeah.
God.
She's lovely. Very, very lovely lady.
You know, I watched that recently, that first movie, and I must say her acting ability then, not so great.
No, I don't think she's ever been.
Would you tell it to her face?
I don't think at that point she probably had ever done anything, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's.
But something
fresh
to bring up, Kevin, which is unique, because, you know, obviously Jason Voorhees was very popular in that time period. The difference, of course, being Freddy Krueger has a lot of personality.
Yes.
Yes. And that's the thing. That's what made him even more frightening, the fact that he would talk trash to you, you know, take advantage of whatever your personal fear is and create a nightmare out of it.
Which is oftentimes other people's personal fears in real life. So they took a lot of that from that.
And basically torture you and just almost like, I'm trying to think of an animal that takes his time killing you. You know, basically he just, instead of just killing you right away, just torture you in that nightmare. And then
until you're exhausted.
Yeah, until you're exhausted.
A velociraptor.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think that he understood his power.
Psychological
and his ability
terror.
And it was flaunting it all the time. And you don't see that in other characters.
And so, Donald, why don't you go ahead and name one of your horror icons?
Oh, I'm going to go a little bit older. I'm going to go with the Dracula.
Ah, nice. Now, is it Nosferatu or like the Count?
The Count. The Count. Friend. Okay. Yes. We're going to go with the universal monster and mayhem type thing. Dracula was phenomenal. The film itself is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's very, very old. Black and white old.
Almost 90 years old next year.
Yeah. It's an old film, guys. So if you watch it, please keep that in mind. But it is a classic.
It is
a great film. And it has spawned so many other stories about Dracula. And just to this day, like just last year, they came out with a BBC with a miniseries. It was a three-parter called Dracula. Mm-hmm. And it was phenomenal.
I haven't checked it out.
It's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, it retells it in a very fresh, very enjoyable way. I can't recommend it enough. You definitely have to check that out. It's on Netflix from the
BBC.
It's
on my queue.
Yeah, are y'all good?
Yeah, Amazon Fire Stick, you can get access to
it. You got to watch it this month, man. That's the time to do it.
Okay.
All right, so just full disclosure, I'm not the biggest fan of the slasher horror film, so I picked different types of characters that I wanted to do. First one I'm going to talk about is a little too real to life for anyone who can relate. Alex Forrest from Fatal Attraction.
Hmm.
Now, Glenn Close is frightening in this movie.
Phenomenal.
There's about three moments I want to quickly bring up. First of all, of course, the classic, you don't return my calls, you don't treat me with respect. Dan, I will not be ignored. I mean, that kind of stuff is frightening.
And realistic.
It's very underplayed. Of course, the other great moment when she's just thinking about what to do, and you clearly see she's losing her mind when she's sitting down in a chair just turning the light on and off. On and off to the opera in the background. And of course, probably the most iconic image from the movie, the boiled rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I've had, in my life, I've had an obsessive pseudo-stalker. So it's a little too real to life. You can sit and laugh about it now. But trust me, that is a frightening character. Oh,
boiled rabbits, too. The rabbits are very bony when you try to eat them anyway. So
why are you eating rabbits?
Boil anything.
Why would you?
Why are you
boil
eating rabbits?
Anything like that?
That was a kid's rabbit.
You boil eggs.
A pet rabbit.
That's terrible.
Well, if you got to eat, you got to eat. You know what I mean?
What's really scary about Fatal Attraction is that Glenn Close is a seductress in that. I mean, I would have picked somebody else. It's Michael Douglas, right?
Yes.
He was a good-looking guy at that point. I think he could have done better.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas.
Well, that's the thing, though, with these psychopaths, when you're entranced by one, they can really make you feel good, like you're the most special person in the world.
Is that what was going on there? I thought it was more than that. I thought it was like a real sexual attraction that they had.
Well, also
other.
That. No, that's part of it.
He treated her basically like a fling, and she obviously, wanted more than that. So, Julio, who's your second horror icon you wanted to discuss?
Tom Atkins.
Mm.
Tom Atkins, the actor.
He's played a multitude of characters.
Yes. Was he in Season of the Witch?
Yes, he was.
Why don't you thrill me with this?
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know if many people know who he is, but he's a great actor. And he was, I guess, commercially, he was known for Lethal Weapon. He played Hunt Saka.
Ah, yes, yes. All,
I got another daughter, Raj. You guys can't protect her. It was just so good. And then he gets shot through the neck while he's trying to have some eggnog.
Right.
It's such an iconic scene. And he actually, I've met him a couple times and at like, monster shows and stuff. And he has that picture. You get an 11x10 with, the shot through his neck holding the eggnog, and he signs it.
That's crazy.
It's just so good.
It's crazy.
And yeah, nice. It's just that. Night of the Creeps, just fantastic.
Yeah, Night of the Creeps was amazing.
Yeah.
He was also in the original My Bloody Valentine or the remake?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was in both, wasn't he?
The Canadian version. I like that.
I didn't see the last one. I'm not
Yeah, they put
remakes,
him in the remake, so. I think.
I don't know the remakes.
I'm pretty sure because they were filming it in a certain area. I think it was Pennsylvania. And once they found out that he lived there currently, mm-hmm.
that's where he lives.
They reached out to him and they were like, "Hey, we're filming this.
Come
we're
down
in
the road.
The original." And
come
he was
down
like,
the
oh,
road.
Oh yeah, I'll put.
Oh no, super cool guy.
Yeah,
super cool guy.
Joined him.
Yeah,
Kevin. So why don't you name one of your other horror icons?
My second one is the werewolf. Just a simple fact of
Universal Monster.
Yeah, Universal Monster. Okay.
Benicio del Toro.
Oh,
I flip you for real.
But just generally, just the werewolf monster itself, even like the Howling, I mean, just the fact that's frightening. I mean, the moon,
wolf
man
frightening.
From
Universal,
and then like werewolves in general.
Just in general, just the fact that if you're cursed in that way, and when you hit that full moon, it just,
Have you seen Wolf Cop?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
I just bought it. You can check it out.
Awesome. Have a screening. I'll go see that.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, can you imagine, you know, you have a friend or whatever, a lover, whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden they start transforming into like a freaking
during
monster
sex?
Wolf.
Wow,
I don't know about that, but just, you know, just simply you're hanging out with someone, all of a sudden they're shaking and the nails are growing long, the hair's popping out, the jaw. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just scary. That's frightening.
I prefer the Paris version, but, you know.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, wow. Tomatoes, tomatoes.
And also, too, I think a little underrated is, you know, the Lycans in Underworld.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
So that's a very, because it really kind of humanized them a lot more. Because I've seen this werewolf act a lot, but it really humanized them in that movie.
Or Julio, so. I know you're a big fan of the Twilight series, you know, Jacob. Yes. And his
very sexy.
Yes, there you go.
Ass. Actually, I prefer Dog Soldiers. Have you guys seen Dog Soldiers?
I have not, but no, I've heard it's fantastic.
But we will be talking about Neil Marshall in a future podcast.
Oh, cool. I love Neil Marshall movies.
Yeah. Donald, why don't you go ahead and give us one of your icons?
Okay. My next one was in the, I think, early 90s. Early 90s, maybe even late 80s. Probably late 80s. It was The Crypt Keeper.
Oh, yeah.
He actually originally premiered in EC Comics back in the 50s.
That's right.
And he was one of the characters in there, but they revamped him for the HBO series Tales from the Crypt.
I thought it was a girl. I thought it was a girl when I was a kid. I know it's a guy now, but I thought it was a girl when I was a kid.
I
thought it was like some old witch lady that was...
It looked like a... It could go either... I think it could have gone either way, to be honest. A man or a woman, you just can't tell. Long hair in the face.
Right.
Really gross-looking face. Yeah. Basically, the witch... The old witch from the EC comic books, that mascot, looked more like the Crypt Keeper now than the Crypt Keeper actually looked like then. So it's interesting how they did that. So I think they took some aspects of both of those characters.
Do you think we can Google the sex of the Crypt Keeper?
I'm sure you could.
I'm sure we could.
Yeah, you're probably going to get Crypt Keeper sex, and in which case you're not going to want to see some of that stuff that pops up.
All right, so for my my second one here, I'm going to go with a classic 1957 car, Christine.
Nice.
Now, that's a
great
scary
movie.
Christine, I'll tell you, it is a very underrated movie. I go back and watch it again, and it still holds up surprisingly really well. It's basically, the acting is low-key really good.
Yes.
So, of course, one of my favorite lines by Arnie in the movie is, whoa, whoa, you better watch what you say about my car. She's real sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The obsession this man has over his car, it's not just about the car. It's about how this car makes him feel. He's a complete guy that gets run over all the time, and this car has given him a brand new confidence. And the fact that the car speaks to him through the radio.
Yes.
The fact that the car definitely has a mind of its own. And it's just one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and I even forgot it until I rewatched it. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is when the car is beat to crap and ruined, and it fixes itself.
Yeah, it's creepy. That's
Have
creepy.
You seen the making part of that scene?
No.
I mean, it's not CGI. They had little balloons under it that would pop the metal out. John Carpenter is a genius.
Yeah, and
he's completely underrated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Carpenter, of course. I
mean, especially his early work.
Yes. Doesn't surprise me that you have a great movie about a horror film from John Carpenter.
And on top of that.
And Stephen King.
I was about to say, that's Stephen King, those early 80s.
Probably, I got to say, probably the best adaptation of Stephen King.
Really?
Is Christine, yeah.
Oh, wow. More so than a Dead Zone.
It's pretty.
I like Dead Zone.
It's pretty outstanding. I mean, obviously, like, I'm more kind of on that. Not so much The Shining, so it wasn't quite as accurate to Stephen King. But, like, Carrie, of course, is always, like, a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So we've got one more movie that we can do, and we actually are quite ahead of schedule here. So
yeah, we
Julio,
could throw in an extra one. I think
Julio,
we can do
why don't you just take a couple minutes and talk to us about We Can Be Heroes.
Oh, well, we are a comic book store that's located in Chatsworth, California. The porn capital of the world. I don't know if it is anymore, but
I think it still is. I think it still is.
Yeah, it's also famous for a little horror movie, Phantasm.
Oh yes,
out here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, which is definitely a great movie. But we're what is it? Almost a little over 3,000 square feet.
Of space.
Space. Yeah, we just added a game room, which is going to open real soon. We're going to do Magic and Pokemon and Dungeons and Dragons. And what's really cool about that is that we're not just going to say we do that. We're going to actually go out of our way to teach people how to play these games.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to definitely take time to do that because I think if we get them hooked early, It's just like drugs, man. Just get them on there early. You have them for life.
But the real question everyone wants to know in Magic is, Julio, will you be moderating the game in a robe, pointed hat, and staff?
No, I've hired a professional nerd to do that. I will be on my comic book geek side over there, which is actually, it's amazing the two types of people. That it's almost like a gang mentality. They don't actually get along.
That's
the
true.
The gaming people and the comic book.
That's true.
The gaming people can actually venture into the gaming into the comic book world here and there, but it's usually after hours when the comic guys have left.
It's like a real life horror film.
Yeah, it's exactly. Right.
And how many comic books do you have in your inventory within the store itself?
I don't know, but I have a friend that always constantly would say to me, "You don't have enough books." And the other day he said, "I will never ever say that again." We constantly buy
collections
collections all the time, and we offer more money than everybody else does.
You don't say.
Yeah, we do.
So you're saying that if Donald was to sell his 27,000 book collection, you would offer him a very reasonable price of at least $127,000
if it's worth it. Yeah, sure. Okay, definitely.
Well, Julio, we're just going to stick with you then. Why don't you name your third horror icon?
It was really hard to pick the third one that I wanted to talk about. I was early telling Donald earlier that I was thinking about Jack Frost, the killer snowman.
That's really that's kind of funny and frightening at the same time.
Yes, it is. It's very funny.
But I know how to kill him, though. I know how to kill him.
But I also like the killer from the movie Pieces.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, tell me about Pieces, because I don't know anything about
it. It's an independent horror film from the early 80s.
It's an Italian movie was shot here in America, and even the Italian actors changed their real names to, you know, quote-unquote American names. Mm. And it's shot, I believe it's in Boston University campus, and it's supposed to be in full session, but there is no one in this campus at all. And there's like four people walking around.
Yeah.
And it's a chainsaw killer on campus. Mm-hmm. And what happens is it takes place like maybe 15 years after a murder. A little kid is playing with a puzzle, and it starts off with him just playing on it, and somebody, the mom, walks into the room and notices the kid playing with the puzzle, and you notice at that moment that it's a nudie puzzle. And she starts talking shit to the kid. "Oh my God, you're a little pervert, just like your dad."
Yeah,
you know, and this and that. And all of a sudden, she starts picking it up, and she goes, "Go to your room and wash your mouth." Whatever, she threatens him. Somebody hits the mom while she's cleaning up the puzzle with an axe.
Right.
And kills her.
Yep.
And the kid hides in the closet, and everybody goes, "Someone killed this lady." And we all know that it was the kid. And the kid gets away with it because...
Yep.
He's hiding in the closet and acting like a victim.
Yep.
And then years later, it just shows up on a killer shows up on a campus, and you're in the middle of that movie. Which sounds kind of weird, the connection there.
Right.
But it all comes together.
It'll make sense.
Yeah. And the ending is fantastic.
Okay.
And it's so it's not really scary.
It's gruesome.
Yeah, it's cheesy and gruesome. It's funny, and it's a great time. And this is one of the reasons I always wanted to be involved in this genre, because that's where I would make a movie if I had to make one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very interesting, it's very outside the box.
Yes.
You know, which is what I think our audience really appreciates. Yeah. So, Kevin, why don't you give us our third?
My third is a very recent horror icon, and that's Jigsaw.
Like that.
Ooh. I knew it was going to be on the list. I told Maria it's going to be Jigsaw. Kevin?
Yes. Now, it's more or less about the first movie more than anything, because some of the sequels, unfortunately, get really out of control. But the first movie, just the concept of waking up in an old, dirty, gritty bathroom and not knowing what the heck's going on, and then there's a tape recorder. And
I had a nickel for every time that happened, Kevin.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly. And just being told, you know, "We're going to play a game," and...
"What's that behind my eye? Is that a key to open this lock?"
Yeah.
That's part two. The first one's very basic. But just the fact that someone's messing you like this, you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
And it's Friday. It's very realistic. You know, in real life, this has happened.
Tobin Bell.
People have been kidnapped.
Tobin Bell's behind it.
I thought it was very very easy to figure out when they just kept going, "As you wish. As you wish." I knew it was the dude from The Princess Bride.
All right. Well, Donald, what is your third horror icon? And I'm sure this is going to come with quite a climax.
Oh, well.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's always a climax when I'm involved. Anyway... you know, first you want to kill me, then you want to kiss me. Blow. I think we're going to be talking about groovy. It's very groovy. We're going to be talking about Ash, a.k.a. Bruce Campbell, from the Evil Dead Army of Darkness series, the best, most fantastic horror icon ever created.
I'm with you, man.
I can't figure out who would be better. And just the fact that it's continued for so long, from, like, what, 78?
Yeah.
And it's still up until this day.
Maybe earlier than that, because they had the Into the Woods movie that turned into the first
Evil Dead. It came out in 81, but, like, the original, like, the short film, that was like the late 70s, like 77, 77, 78.
77, 78, somewhere around there, So for this to have existed for as long as it has and still be relevant and have so many rabid fans, it's crazy.
Yeah, Deadites.
And it's just all based around the fact that, you know, a couple of college buddies got together and decided to make a film.
In good old Michigan.
Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell.
In good old state of Michigan.
A very rich dentist gave them the money to do so.
That is very true. A very rich dentist gave them the money. So my hat's off to dentists.
And the creativity behind the original one especially is just outstanding.
This first one still scares me to this day.
It's a scary movie.
It is frightening.
It's a scary
movie. And what's funny about it, I think I told you this years ago when I first met you, when I saw it back in college, back in the early 2000s, I said, you know what? This guy should direct a Spider-Man movie in the future. I actually literally thought that. And then when they announced Sam Raimi to be the director.
That is not true.
I was like, wow, this is incredible. Because I saw some of the camera shots he was using. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, you know what? This guy would be pretty good for doing a Spider-Man movie. Because all of the way Spider-Man would move in a movie. And then when they picked him, I was so happy. I was like, wow, this makes perfect sense.
Spider-Man 2, I mean, the one, you know, that he directed.
Had a callback.
He directed at the best. Because with the tentacles, that was basically the Evil Dead, like coming after everybody.
It was phenomenal. I love Evil Dead 2 is my favorite of all three of the original movies. He took number one and what I think is fixed it and turned it into a hero movie. He created a hero out of this situation. I think it's just so genius. It's so genius.
Yeah, that's when we started to really see Ash Williams was in Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
With his personality started to come out.
Yes.
I think they reined him in pretty good in the first one. And then the second one, they were like, okay, Bruce,
Cut loose.
Yeah, and he was like, groovy, baby.
Him versus his hand is one of the greatest things ever put on film.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
I mean, Kevin does it every night, but this one's more horrific.
It's a different type of battle.
Yeah.
It's a different
battle.
Right,
This is accusations.
So
accusations.
We're going to go from perversions to an analyst of perverts. I'm going to use, for my third choice, Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Mm.
So how good is Dr. Hannibal Lecter? You almost forget about Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so obviously Hannibal Lecter is kind of the standard for basically all villains that you see in films for the most part now. Like they always say, this is your gold standard. Obviously, just little things like when he convinces his cellmate to eat his own tongue.
Yeah. Just
by talking to him all night, yeah. Things of that nature. Obviously, he really is about, he wants to help Clarice, but she's got to play his game first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Jodie Foster, by the way, is also excellent.
Phenomenal.
You know, the director, Jonathan Demme. I mean, he just...
Yeah, Gareth Soule.
Like, you kind of created like this... It's weird. Like, you kind of really created this perfect collection of a movie to put it all together. Like, the cast was just correct. Everything about it. And Hannibal Lecter, just every little thing he does. And once again, on the screen for 20 minutes.
Yes. Oscar worthy too,
but
right?
Yeah, I really think Dr. Hannibal Lecter is just the gold standard of all these horror movie icons.
Well, you know, that movie is just part of the explanation for Ed Gein.
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Psycho, and Silence of the Lambs to explain one serial killer.
Yep.
You know, now, which is insane.
Now, some people actually have a preference, believe it or not. Brian Cox was the original Hannibal Lecter from Manhunter. And then, of course, you have...
who also is a phenomenal actor.
Absolutely.
And he was great in that movie.
Yes, he was.
Ted Levine, let's not forget about him in Silence of the Lambs. He played a phenomenal Buffalo Bill. Like, in the fact that I did not know his voice in Monk, because he plays the like good guy detective in Monk.
Great.
Like his voice to me, I was like, I can't place this, but he just sounds so familiar. And then I watched Silence of the Lambs again, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Fuck me. Fuck me hard.
Do you know a Federica Bimmel? Oh, right. Is she a great big fan person?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, he's so downright creepy.
She was a big girl.
And I hate to be that person to put, you know, a whole state on blast, but there are areas of West Virginia that are about that scary. Hmm.
That movie also has American Girl by Tom Petty in it.
Yes.
Which makes it scary.
Hmm. Yeah.
There's such a classic moment in that song, and she's just like, you know, rocking out, which we've done to that song a million times. But after Silence of the Lambs, you always remember what is going to happen to her.
By the way, are you like about a 12? Excuse me?
Exactly.
What?
And next year's 30th anniversary of that movie. Mm-hmm.
So now that we have just a little extra time here, I'm going to throw some, like a big curveball to y'all here. Julio, we've talked about greatness. Julio, what is the stupidest horror movie you think you've ever seen?
Oh, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. But I did see, what is the name of that movie? It's that Turkey Killer movie.
Turkey killer.
Thanks killing.
Yeah, yeah.
gobble, bitch. It's a turkey killing people.
That
and probably Zombiever. Zombiever.
Oh, Zombievers. That's actually really good. Yeah.
It's stupid.
But it's stupid as shit. Stupid. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I recommend that one.
Kevin.
Oh, two back-to-back sequels. Leprechaun in Space and Leprechaun in the Hood.
No, the Hood one is good.
I mean, it's just like, what is going
on? Baby.
As a matter of fact, he did have a limerick that was silly. It was so retarded. He's like, give me shimmy or there may be a killing. You know, I'm just like, there may be a killing. I'm like, oh my
gosh.
That's
amazing.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
I just saw that first one about a week ago. And Jennifer Aniston looked real good when she was young.
Well, yeah, she was in the first one back in 94, 93. Matter of fact, she did that right before she got cast on Friends.
She looked really good.
Yeah. I think to piggyback on some of these, I'm probably going to go with Troll 2.
So good.
So good, so bad, and so good that they made a documentary on how bad it actually was.
And the director thought they were making a legit documentary about his work on that, which was even better.
Yeah, it was even better and more endearing to it. And like the lead dude, like the dad, I think he was a dentist too.
Yeah.
And, you could tell he was doing his best, and he knew he wasn't a great actor, and he even talks about it. It was just a great, fun, really bad film, but very enjoyable. I actually recommend watching that, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to go with one that looks like it's clearly caught in a 90s time warp, and that's Dr. Giggles.
Oh, that's a guess.
Yeah.
Giggles is God about the worst movie you could possibly make, because the thing is, it's like they kind of want you to take it seriously, and he's trying to play like a crazy person. But it's so obvious that you can't take him seriously.
Right.
And then on top of that, just there's a shortcut everywhere in that movie as far as just the editing and the filming. You can just tell, let's crank this thing out. Let's throw it out there. But that laugh is absurd.
Yes.
And just everything. It looks like I want to be a Sam Raimi film, but I'm totally not a good Sam Raimi film. And it's bloody terrible.
Absolutely. Same guy that was in Darkman.
Yeah, which is a Sam Raimi film.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. So.
Is that going to do it?
Do you want to take us out?
Thank
Julio as well.
Yeah. I'm glad Darren told me. I would have forgot completely. But thank you so much for being here, Julio. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you for having me. I love being hanging out with you guys all the time.
Yep, and Kevin and Darren and
even
Donald.
Kevin.
And we're going to leave you guys here. Please check us out on Spotify, Stitcher, Sprecher, Apple Podcast. On iCloud, on iHeartRadio, and a host of others, just a ton. We're also on YouTube. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, and you can find We Can Be Heroes. What's the address, Julio?
20936 Devonshire Street in Chatsworth, California.
Yeah, and if we don't see you anyplace else, perhaps we will see you here.
At the sweet, luscious, comfortable comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.